Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go. Well, good morning to everyone who is online. Good morning to everyone who is here in person. We are so glad that you are here. For those who are online, you may not know this, but you can come to our services. At this point, we are not pre-registering. We are taking attendance at the door. We would love for you to join us, and I'm just thankful for all of those who have joined us and looking forward to more and more of us coming together. We are continuing a series, and we are doing things a little bit different this morning, as you can tell. I've got a guitar strapped to me, and we will be doing something just a little different. I'll be preaching, and then we will be singing, and then we'll be preaching and singing. And the reason why we're doing this is because I am preaching this morning on singing. We're continuing a series called Alone with Jesus, where we have been thinking about how we can grow in a deeper, more intimate relationship with our Savior. And last week, Johnny taught us on how we can hear from God through the Word, through the believers, and through Scripture, and through the Holy Spirit, I should say. And he told us that we can hear from God, and that's absolutely true, and he did a fantastic job. And this week, we are going to be talking about how we can reply to all that God has done for us in song. We'll be talking about singing. And really, in the worship of God's people, besides communion and Scripture and prayer, there are few things that have the same place in our worship as singing. God loves to inspire his people to sing. He loves it. We know this because when we look throughout Scripture, we see God inspiring people to sing again and again. In fact, so much of the Bible is God inspiring the authors of Scripture to song. The longest book of the Bible, Psalms, it's 150 songs. Psalm is the word song. It's 150 songs. It's a songbook, a God-inspired songbook. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119, and it's another song. And there are books of the Bible that are dedicated completely to song. And throughout Scripture, we see God's people exploding in song. You may remember this story, but there was this man named Moses, and he led God's people out of Egyptian slavery, right, by God's command. So he's bringing all of these Israelites through to escape this slavery from Egypt, and they come up to the Red Sea, and they're blocked off. And the Egyptian slavers are coming from behind, and they've got nowhere to go. So what does God do? He splits the Red Sea. You probably remember this story. Splits the Red Sea so that they walk across on dry ground. And they make it to the other side, and the water closes in behind them on their enemies. You know what they do at that moment? They sing. They burst into song. That was the fitting response to the wonderful, glorious deliverance that they had experienced. And what do the angels do during, you know, we celebrate this at Christmas time. The angels come, and they visit the shepherds, and they announce the coming of Jesus. How do they do that? They sing. They sing. God's people and all of the universe under God's command is ready to sing. And singing is for all of God's people. Singing is for the musically inclined. Singing is for the musically inept. Singing is for the young. It's for the old. It's for people who like to sing. Singing is for people who don't like to sing. People who can carry a tune, who can't carry a tune. Singing is for people who are online and in person. Singing is for seasoned believers. Singing is for young believers, new believers as well. Singing is for everyone. Singing has a critical place in the worship of God's people. But why singing? You know, why not anything else that we could think of? Why not painting? Why not dancing? And we do these things. In fact, a few weeks ago, I spoke about how we can do these things for the glory of God. But throughout Scripture, we don't see those things having the same place in the worship of God's people, anything like singing. Why is that? Well, when we look through Scripture and we see God give us the gift of song, we see that God has given us this gift to make spiritual connections in our lives that would otherwise possibly be left dormant. And we're going to talk about four of these connections that we see throughout Scripture. But first, before we get into that, I want to read this. It says this: "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." These are instructions to the church. And look how many times singing is mentioned. Look, psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God. Singing has this elevated place in the worship of God's people, right alongside preaching, scripture, prayer, communion, all of these other things. It has this important and vital function in our worship life. And it has a lot to do with how it makes these connections in our lives. Here's a few ways. We're going to look at all of these four biblically. Singing connects the head to the heart. I'm going to explain all these if they're a little confusing. Connects the head to the heart, the internal to the external, the individual to the collective, and also God's beauty to our experience. We're going to be looking at all four of these connections, and we're going to be singing in response to what Scripture says about these things. So first of all, singing connects the head to the heart. Or in other words, it connects what we believe with what we feel. We're going to be standing and sitting a little bit today, but I just want us to do something different. I want us to read this Psalm 100 together, but would you all stand with me as we read this together? Can we stand? Let's read this. Ready? "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Praise be to God. You can have a seat. This is a song. Psalm 100. It's a song of God's people. And by the way, when I ask you to stand and sit today, if you're not able-bodied, if it's difficult for you, please remain seated. Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. So this Psalm 100, if we could break it down into three little components, look, it's got three instructions for us. It's essentially these three instructions. One is to shout for joy to the Lord, this expression of praise. It is to know that the Lord is God, and it's to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And all three of these things can be accomplished through singing, all of them. We shout for joy to the Lord. In fact, it talks about singing, and come before him with joyful songs. We come before God with singing. We shout to joy for the Lord through singing. We also know that the Lord is God through singing. We rehearse those wonderful truths about God and about salvation, about redemption, about Christ on the cross. We rehearse those truths as we sing. And as we sing, we get a keener sense of God's presence amongst us. When we sing together, it is as though we are entering his gates with thanksgiving. We get a keener sense of his presence as we sing together. So singing accomplishes these things, but I got to ask the question, like, why is it so important to sing these truths? Why couldn't it be that we just recite them? Why is it so important for us to sing them out? And it must be important to sing them because the Bible, again and again, I mean, it's not a textbook. It could have been just, here's a fact about God, another fact about God, here's a fact about Jesus, here's a fact about Jesus, fact. It could have been a textbook. But it's not that. It has all of these wonderful truths clothed in song and in beauty. Why could that be? And perhaps part of the reason, at least, is that sometimes We've got all these beliefs, don't we? I mean, we're believers, so we've got beliefs, right? But sometimes these beliefs just are stuck in our minds, and we assent to them. We know that they're true. We believe that they're true, but they fail to thrill us. They fail to draw us closer to Christ. They fail to fill us with more affections towards God. They're here, but they're not here. And singing bridges the divide between the head and the heart. It's like singing are these truths are these, like these chords, and singing sends 10,000 volts through them. Singing enlivens these truths to our hearts. Why isn't the Bible a textbook? Well, it's partly because we're not just meant to just know these truths and believe these truths, but love these truths and enjoy these truths and praise God for these truths. We need singing because it connects our heads with our hearts. It's one thing to say, Jesus died for my sins, and believe that. And sometimes that thrills us, sometimes that captures us, but sometimes it doesn't. But it's quite another thing to sing a song like In Christ Alone and sing those truths out. And God has blessed us with singing so that truths find expression in our hearts. Now, the thing about the beliefs that we have is sometimes they are difficult to feel. They are difficult for us to grab onto with our hearts. And part of the reason is because some of these truths they're abstract, right? They're abstract truths. Some of these truths we've heard over and over every week or even every day for years and years of our lives for some of us. And after prolonged exposure, we just don't feel them like we once did. Or perhaps you're just going through a tough time. And you're struggling with something. You're grieving, you're mourning. And those truths, you still believe them, but you're not feeling them. And God has designed singing to bridge that divide between what we believe and what we feel, what we have affections for. Here's an example of this. Take a look at what happens with Paul. In the first century, Paul is one of Christ's apostles. He's going, building churches, planting churches in different areas, but he was in a hostile environment. The religious establishment and also the Roman Empire did not want anyone starting up what they thought was a new religion. And so he often got flogged and beaten, and that's exactly what happens in Acts 16. It says this, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So they are thrown into prison, they're flogged, they're beaten up, and they pray and they sing hymns. So why? And the passage doesn't tell us why. It doesn't give us the logic for why they do it. They just do it. And I'm sure part of the reason is after you are flogged and thrown into prison, you're probably not feeling it at that moment. You have all these beliefs about God. You have all these truths about God in your head. But perhaps at that moment, you're having a hard time expressing those. You're having a hard time believing them in your heart. And so they sing because it's a gift from God for him to encourage his own heart through song. We clothe the truth of Scripture with the beauty of song, and it enlivens our hearts to the truth of God's word. So that's what I'm hoping that we're going to do right now. We're going to sing a song. It's called In Christ Alone. It's filled with doctrinal truth. It's filled with truth. But there's something so wonderful about singing out these truths that bridges the gap between our minds and our hearts. So I'd invite you to stand as we sing this wonderful song, In Christ Alone. Why don't we stand? In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness
scorned by the ones he came to save.
Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
There is ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
Have a seat. Singing connects. Connects the head with the heart. What we believe with those truths that we value and that we feel and that we adore and love. But singing also makes other connections, and here's the second one here. Singing connects the internal with the external. In other words, sometimes we have these affections for God, don't we? Sometimes we're reading scripture, or we hear a sermon, or we're reading a Christian book, or we're inspired by some act of God's beauty, or we're reminded of the ways that God has been faithful to us and has blessed us over the years. And we have these affections, and they're internal, and we're feeling them, but sometimes we have a hard time expressing them. We don't know what words we should use. We don't know what to say. We have these affections. They're all inside, and we find it hard to externalize and make these inner emotions and translate them into outward praise. Singing is the answer to that question. For many of you, you came to faith in Christ and you had those great feelings. You knew that Christ died for your sins. You knew that you were a child of his. You were adopted into God's family and that he's with you and he's your father and you're his child. And he loves you and delights in you. And he saved you, and you can look forward to an eternity with him, and you've got all of these affections. And what are we supposed to do with those? We sing. Take a look at this passage here. It says in Psalm 59, "But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely." My in-ear monitor just popped right out. Okay, hopefully that's not a big deal. All right. Perhaps I'll fix that in a little bit. What does this person do in response to all of the wonderful things God has done for him? He sings. We're told that we sing. We externalize through song. You know, this is almost something that should happen naturally, because I don't know how many of you are sports fans. Okay, I'm unfortunately a Leafs fan. Okay, so, you know, you can feel bad for me. That's fine. But, you know, when I'm watching a game and I'm excited about the game and I'm invested in the game and everything's going on and we need a goal and I'm leaning in and I really want a goal to happen, and then it does, what do I do? And wouldn't it be weird if they score the goal and I'm like, oh, that's good. That's nice. Sip my water. That would be strange. That would be weird. Why? Because it's just natural. When your team scores, you're just, yes! Woohoo! It just comes out that way. Why? Well, it's just natural, but it's also pleasurable. It's pleasurable to join together, and it's pleasurable to celebrate the victory of your team, and it's pleasurable to respond to all of God's goodness to us in song. That's what Scripture tells us. Says this in Psalm 135, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. We sing out to God for his glory, because he's worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, absolutely. And in that act, it is pleasant to worship him. It is for his glory and our good as well. It connects our emotions with our actions, our emotions with worship. It's simply pleasurable to do that. And sometimes we just don't have the words. Sometimes we don't have an outlet. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do in response to all the wonderful things God has done for us. And Scripture answers that question for us. We sing. So let's sing another song. We're going to sing a song that I hope will be used for you to translate those inner emotions and affections towards God into external praise.
Oh,
voice again. Singing connects the mind with the heart. It connects the internal feelings of affection with external praise. And also it connects the individual to the collective. It connects my heart with all of yours. And I am so glad that the government was able to open up services for us on this very same week that I was planning on speaking about singing and talking about this very thing. Unbelievable. Singing connects the individual to the collective. Take a look at this. I want to read this. And there's an often overlooked word in this, in these verses. Let's see if you can spot it. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. What do you think that overlooked word is? It's funny how overlooked it is because it shows up three times. Us. Let us. We are meant to come together to sing, to bring our individual voices together and join them in a collective harmony and a collective chorus and bring our praises to God as we build our praises on top of one another and we bring it towards God. That's what singing is for. Now, I realize that this sermon series has been called Alone with Jesus, right? And yes, singing alone with the door closed, with just your headphones on just by yourself or on the way to work or, you know, during a drive. Absolutely, these are ways that you can grow when you're in an intimate relationship with Jesus. Rehearsing these truths through song by singing alone, absolutely. But I'd be lying if I told you that was the main purpose for singing. We're meant to come together, to join together in song. To come collectively before our God and sing praises with a united voice. See, singing breaks down all sorts of divides. Younger people, you might have a hard time connecting with older people. Older people, you might have a hard time connecting with younger people. You might have reasons for it being hard to connect with one person or another. But you know what happens when we come together and sing a song together? We choose for those issues to no longer matter and we unite together with song. We unite together in a common chorus. Those divides disappear as we choose to unite together in song. But even if we are singing alone, singing some song of worship to God, we are joining into an eternal chorus that spans from the beginning of time and that will go until the end of time. Because when we sing these songs, we're singing those same songs of other believers around the world and across time who've had the same struggles as us, who have the same faith as us, who believe the same things as us, who believe in the cross, who believe in Christ, who believe in the resurrection. And they've sung these songs to encourage their hearts. And we join in with them in a chorus that spans beyond time and will go through all of eternity. In fact, as we sing and as we unite in song, we are getting a little foretaste, a little glimpse of heaven, when we will sing in all of those divides which exist, they're there, but, and we can even celebrate them. And yet those divides will not stop us from uniting in song. And when we sing together now, it's like a little glimpse of that heavenly kingdom and that heavenly future, where we will have perfect, redeemed voices. I'm looking forward to that, Deborah Ann. Perfect, redeemed voices. Not pitchy. And we'll sing with the saints over the years in worship to God. What a beautiful picture. And we are showing the world that that's the case when we come together and sing. We're showing the world that it's not the external divides that define us. No, it's our God who defines us. When we come together in song, we're saying to the world, those things only matter here. And there is something that matters much more, and it is God, and it is his worship, and it is his kingdom. And friends, singing will never be outgrown or outdated. It's never going to go out of style. So may we never be a church where that, you know, the worship leaders up here go so far ahead of the congregation that we're singing, but you're not. No, we need to be a church that sings. If a church is an outpost of the kingdom of God, if a church is an outpost of that heavenly kingdom here on earth, if that's true, then the citizens of that kingdom will sing. You and me, we'll sing. And we need each other. We absolutely need each other. Like, so I was a worship pastor at my previous church. And we would go to these conferences, these worship conferences. So the entire worship team would come with us, and we'd all get in a van, and we'd go off to some place where we would experience like the most tremendous band and the most tremendous worship experience that someone could come up with. So, and by what I mean by that is the singing was perfect, everything was beautiful, everything was wonderful, and they better be because they're leading a worship conference, a singing worship conference. So they better be good. So we're all there and we're enjoying that, and there's someone in our worship team who is a vocalist, and he. I'm sure he doesn't like being introduced this way every time someone introduces him, but he was a big guy. Like, a big guy, like NFL-sized. Like, big, tough guy. Like, big, 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 big. And he was a machinist, which kind of went with the persona. He was this big, tough guy. And he was one of our vocalists. And so I'm enjoying this worship conference, and, you know, I'm trying to get into that space where my affections for God are enlivened for him as we sing, but, you know, I'm just kind of not there. I'm in a new environment. Things are strange. I'm kind of checking out what they're doing, less so worshiping, trying to figure out, okay, what are they up to? So I'm kind of looking around the room, and in the corner of my eye, who do I see but this big guy? And I'm not sure, I really don't know. I'm really not sure why this moment struck me as hard as it did, but I looked at him, and this huge, tough guy. And his head was tilted up. His eyes were closed. His hands were out. And he was worshiping with all his might. Just sold out to Christ in worship, singing the full capacity of his lungs. And you know, it's not, I don't think I'm a guy who tears up often, but man, that just hit me. I started to tear up, and all of a sudden, my affections for God were enlivened. And I was starting to get to the place where he was at, in worship to God. I was so encouraged by his praise, by his love for Christ. I was encouraged, and so my singing to God was encouraged. Friends, we need each other. We need each other. I need you. Like, this online church thing, it's been a necessary and temporary, Lord willing, temporary measure. You might be someone who's thinking, you know, I may decide to stay home. Like, this just might be my new normal. And I'm just telling you, that's not an option. And there's plenty of biblical reasons to say that, not the least of which being that we should not neglect meeting together, okay? There's more biblical reasons for that, but even selfishly and spiritually, I need you here. Me, Tyler, Pastor Tyler, I need you here. I need to be encouraged by your singing. Deborah Ann, I need to be encouraged by your singing, okay? Sandy, I need to be encouraged by your singing. I need that. We need that. It's not a solo thing. I want to look around and see your affections for Christ, and that enlivens my praise towards God. We need each other. It connects our hearts together in song, and God is glorified and worshiped as we have this little foretaste of the kingdom of heaven here in this church. So we're going to sing a couple songs. One you probably know very well, one we've introduced in the past year. And it's about the family of God. Why don't we stand as we sing? Here we go. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family, the family. How good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity, where the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruit of His presence here among us. So with one voice we'll the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people.
Oh, how good it is on this journey we share to rejoice with the happy and weep with those who mourn. For the weak find strength, the afflicted find grace, when we offer the blessing of belonging.
So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people. Oh, how good it is to embrace His command, to prefer one another, forgive as He forgives. When we live as one, we all share in the love of the Son with the Father and the Spirit. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people.
Once more. Amen. Thank you for uniting our voices together. Have a seat, everyone. Go ahead. Singing connects mind with heart, internal affections with external praise, and individual to the collective. And singing also connects us, or connects God's beauty, I should say, to our experience. A few weeks back, I spoke about God's beauty, and how do we experience God's beauty? And the answer is, you can't. Not on this side of eternity. Not fully. But you can get closer. And one way we get closer to seeing and relishing in the beauty of God is through song. In eternity, there will be a song of praise and glory to God that goes on and on and on and on. And we, those who are found in Christ, those who are united in Christ through faith in what He has done on the cross for our sakes, we will unite in that chorus. And we'll sing a song that's not dissimilar from this one. This is from this passage here is in Revelation, and Revelation gives us a glimpse into the very throne room of God. And there's a lot of, there's some complicated and symbolic language in here. I'm not going to explain it right now. But it is a song that God's people are singing together in heaven, in God's throne room. It says this, and they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And that very redeemed people is singing their praise to God. The angels, the elders, the living creatures, all of those entities and beings in Revelation are singing their praises to God. So why is singing fitting for the throne room of God? Why not recite? And I guess, honestly, I don't know if the Bible gives us a clear answer. But the fact is, in the end, in the new heavens and the new earth, and in heaven, we will be singing this song rather than reciting it. Why? And I'm not sure. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that, you know, when we sing, we unite together lyric and rhyme and poetry and harmony and melody and music and rhythm, and we combine all of these things together to make one united and beautiful sound. And perhaps that is just, perhaps that's just a fitting illustration of the God who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is Trinity, yet he is one. Perhaps it's a fitting illustration of the God who is fully loving, fully merciful, full of justice, full of wisdom, full of power, who's ever present and yet present with us. Perhaps it's a fitting illustration of all that God is. Perhaps singing just does that justice better than reciting. I'm not sure, but for whatever reason, singing these songs brings us closer to experiencing the beauty of God above. So when we come together for a service and you know, you decide, I'm going to be a bit late, but that's not a big deal because all that we're doing at the beginning is singing. That's like, I just don't want to bother experiencing God's beauty. I just don't want to bother with that. That's a minor thing. I don't want to celebrate and relish in God's beauty and all that he's done for me in Christ. I'll skip the unimportant bits, the singing. I'll just be there for the sermon. You see how that so misses the heart of Scripture and so misses the heart of God. And it so misses the reality of the future where we will be singing and we will be delighting in song forever and ever. It misses that reality. So we must come together and sing and value this time together. Value this time together. In fact, all of the universe is responding to God in song because of his beauty, because of his compassion, because of his glory. Take a look at this. Look at this verse here. This is the universal response to the God of beauty. "Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, you earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests and all your trees. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel." And Jacob and Israel are words that denote God's people in the Old Testament. It's talking about God's people. So here's the question for you. Why is the universe celebrating the praises of God here? The universe is celebrating the praises of God because he has saved his people, us, the church. That's why they're coming together with praise, because God has saved and redeemed his people, us. Now, how much more does that mean we should sing? If the universe is singing the praises of God for saving us, how much more should we be praising him for what he has done to us and for us? Oh, the glory of God is beautiful. It's above imagination. And we get closer to that reality, somewhat closer to that reality, through song. The universe is praising God. So I want all of us, at home, in person, I want all of us to value singing in our hearts, knowing that this is one way, at least, that we experience more closely the beauty and wonder, glory and majesty of God. We're going to sing a song. No surprise there. And this song is going to, I hope, focus our minds on the beauty and glory of God in Christ. So why don't you stand together?
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Sing that chorus again.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Amen. Please have a seat. Singing connects. Connects the head with the heart, the internal affections with external praise. Our hearts together. And we get a glimpse of the glory of God and the beauty of his majesty through song. Singing connects. And, you know, it's a real shame when singing has so often in the course of the church divided. Some people, you know, love the hymns and should love the hymns. Some people love the new stuff and there's lots of new stuff to love. And we've got our preferences. I know. But if we let singing divide us, we're going to be missing out on all that God wishes to accomplish through this church, through singing with a united voice. It's meant to connect our hearts together. And so I challenge you to make singing a part of your intimacy with Jesus. Sing. Sing your favorite songs at home. Get a great CD. Sing those songs on the road with your family, with your kids. Sing. Make singing part of your relationship with Jesus. And when we're at church, younger people, I know I'm generalizing here, but younger people, sing the old hymns. Sing them with conviction. Other people, sing the new stuff. Sing it with conviction. So long as it glorifies the God of our Heavenly Father and is truthful to Scripture, sing it out. Don't let those preferences get in the way of uniting our voices together in song. I want us to be a singing church. I don't want us to be a church that sings. We happen to sing. Singing is just a thing we do. No, I would love for us to be a singing church. A church that is just overflowing with affections for God and it just results in singing worship. I want us to be a church that just can't wait to come together to sing our praises together to God. I just want us to be a church that always has a song on the tip of our lips because of the goodness of God and his faithfulness to us as a church. I want that for this church. I want us to be a singing church, not just a church that sings. I want us to be a church that more closely resembles that future glory, where all those divides go away and we're uniting in praise and adoration to our God. You know, at the beginning of this sermon, I said something that might have triggered your mind. I said, God sings. At least I think I said that. And yet, we've seen that God inspires us to sing. We've seen that. He inspires his people to sing. But does God sing? Does God himself sing? We haven't seen that. I want to show you this passage of scripture. I love this. In Zephaniah, it says this. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Not only does God sing, get this, not only does God sing, and he does, not only is God a singing God, you know what he sings about? You. He sings about his redeemed people. He sees those who have put their faith in Christ and says, you are mine and I delight in you and I sing over you in my delight. That's unbelievable. The God of all glory and majesty looks at us redeemed people because of what Christ has done on the cross and delights in us and sings over us. I guess it really shouldn't be all that surprising, should it? He sent his son to die for us. It's not that surprising that he would sing over us, given that. In fact, it is because of what Christ did. It is because of the Son of God. It is because that he sacrificed himself on the cross so that we could have a right standing before him for all those who have faith in him. It is because of that that God does delight over us, because we are one in Christ. We are redeemed people and we are adopted into the family of God, and our Heavenly Father sings over us in delight. What a beautiful picture. And we're expressing that adoption, that sonship, that heirship through singing. We now come to the table, well, where we remember what Christ has done for us, such that God would delight over us in song. He went to the cross for us, and he gave his body, symbolized by the bread, and he spilled his blood, symbolized by the juice, so that we could be saved and be with God forever. We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.